Blog Talk Radio.
Before we get into our bird's eye view study, intensive study of the word of the Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we simply do need some devotion, don't we? You see, on this show, our fellow students, we realize it doesn't stop until the casket drops. If you think you got all the sense in the world, what can I tell you? You keep on believing that nonsense. We don't believe such nonsense. We believe it's evolving, studying, making an application, and so on and so forth, a continuation process. And that's why you find us on the Real Talk for Real People show Monday through Friday. But before we get started in our study, I want to make some commentaries on contemporary subject matters. You know, I see some of us running around who are totally confused about everything and don't know much of anything. That's why we're always coming from the block. What's happening? What's going on? What's going down? What it is? Because you don't know nothing. Yeah, we try to tell you something, but you won't listen to nothing. And you know, the funny thing about that is this. Making this analogy, I hear people in the so-called Democratic Party talking about those in the Republican Party, two sides of the same coin, and they say, they're trying to stop us from voting, y'all. We can't vote. They're trying to make it hard for us. When has it ever been easy for you? Whenever they ever not stop you from voting. It reminds me of something that I once heard at Alcoholic Anonymous. Yes, I did attend some of the classes, and I needed them. I once heard it at Alcoholic Anonymous. The definition of insanity is believing the same thing over and over and doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. So if you're believing that they're about to change their political system to benefit you. I got some beachfront property in Memphis, Tennessee. I want to unload it on a sucker. I mean, a smart person like you today. All right? Yeah, whatever. And seriously, on a more serious note, about memorial to those who've been affected by COVID-19. The only thing I can say, do the best you can. First and foremost, get connected with the Almighty and stay connected with the Almighty. That's first and foremost. Secondly, do the best you can with what you got. CDC guidelines, wash your hands, stay up out of folks' faces and whatnot, and so on and so forth. It's quite simple, but we make everything hard. Just like I see some of our young folk down in Florida just having a funky good time. Full of that alcohol. They're going to Alcoholic Anonymous one of these days, too, just like Yelp Soup did. Full of that alcohol, a whole lot of nonsense. And know anything, just like Yelp Soup did back in the day when he was on Fool's Paradise. Don't listen to nobody. Mama used to tell me, Cardrell and Imadora, fellow students, you know, Mama used to tell me, boy, you better take an ex-fool's advice. Me being a smart aleck that I was, oh, that old lady don't know what she's talking about. I got all the sense in the world. I got it going on. I'm young, gifted, and so-called black. But Mama did know something. Honor your mother and your father. They do know something, okay? And last but not least, I am quite concerned about us, our young people. I'm quite concerned about the violence that is perpetrated in our communities. I'm quite concerned about the response of the elders in the community. You see, the response concerns me somewhat. See, Ray Ray and Poo Poo can shoot everybody at the party and come running home and grandma and grandpa hide them in the attic or under the front porch. But let an officer of the law that don't love us, now we already know this, shoot one of us, we want to cut up, bend over backwards, tear butt up the very things in your community that you need. We crazy as hell. Let's get started with the show. That's all I got to say. We crazy as hell. May the Most High bless us by the study of his word. And once serious study, serious application of his word. But before we do that, I'm going to bring my brother on and Imar Dora on. My brother, he's from New York City. He's Cartrell. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Shalom, Brother Yamsu Farim, Imar Dora. May the Most High bless y'all.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend. Do you have any commentaries?
Well, you said a mouthful. I mean, I can't add too much to what you said because it's just a vicious cycle that we're in. And we think that we're going to get solution from the system that's trying to destroy us. As a matter of fact, they want to test the babies out now with the COVID shots. We're going to test children with the vaccine. That's what they're saying out of their mouth. Wait a minute. Wait. We're testing children with the vaccine?
Y'all, I thought
if
y'all
were subjecting children to these tests, then you're a fool.
Definitely. Definitely, Cartrell. All right. Imahadora. Imahadora, may the Most High bless you, love. Your mic is hot, slow.
Hallelujah. May the Most High bless you and all of Israel, wherever we are, fair and near. And I praise you. Brother, you know, so you said a mouthful today. I tell you. I'm afraid to agree with you because I don't want Marie Cafio to jump on me. You know, you always speak so negative. But I just got to say this.
Yes, ma'am.
I have to say this before we get in our study.
Yes, ma'am.
I like to read from Leviticus 26 to just comment on what you're saying.
Yes, ma'am.
The word says, and I will scatter you among the nations and will draw the sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Shabbat as long as it lies desolate, and you be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Shabbat. As long as it lies desolate, it shall rest because it did not rest in your Shabbat when you dwelt upon it. And upon them, here we go, speaking to what you just spoke about.
Uh-huh.
And upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies. And the sound of a shaking, they shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursue it. And they shall fall one upon another, as it were before a sword, when none pursue it. And you shall have no power to stand before your enemies. And you shall perish among the nations, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' land, and the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. Now, there was a post today that suggested that we need to file a class action suit against post-trauma syndrome, however that goes,
yes,
saying that we're afraid to drive down the streets because of the police brutality.
No, that was y'all said. I'm gonna make you scared.
Yeah. Within, I guess, about 45 minutes, they had 130 responses. Yes, brother, that's a great idea. We need to file this class action suit. So I posted a post that, no, what we need to do is do what our God told us to do so we can come from above these curses. And that is, to the rest of Leviticus 26, confess our iniquity, and I gave them all of that. The response came back, sister, you still hanging on those curses. We ain't under no curse anymore. That's why we need to file this class action suit.
Oh, is that right? Look like we on the map to me for the residual effect of it.
But you're not under the curses anymore. What the hell are you?
Yeah, if you ain't not under the curse or the residual effect of it, you'd have that money. You'd be walking up out of here. I mean, the evidence speaks for I don't know why you argue with them fools in Fool's Paradise. they already know the rules. Kajal need to understand. See, I have set of rules on my page. They don't try to keep. I'm the king on that page. And when I tell you, you said what you said, I mean, you said what you said, I'm done with it. Don't continue arguing back and forth with me, because I'm not going to do that. Everybody on my page, they be waiting. What's going to happen? He finna go to Fool's Paradise.
You know, I want to point that out. I want to make a point of that, if you don't mind. What you said was so important, and our people don't even think about it. The word says we shall pine away in our iniquities and in our father's iniquities. The police, we get out there and be willing to put our lives on the line, go out there to protest against what the police are doing to us. The policeman may have killed one of us that day, where we done killed 15 or 20 of us within a period of 100 miles.
Hallelujah. Amen.
But we don't, we protect our wicked ones. It's our people that's got us afraid to walk down the streets in our neighborhoods.
Amen.
It's our people that we're afraid of sending, letting our children be outside to play. We can't even have outside restaurants because of the drive-by. That's at the hands of our people. And we protect those. We cover up their wickedness.
Amen. That's the problem. That's the problem, Iman.
We got to wake up.
Without a vision, the people perish. And our people have no vision. The youth have no vision. They can't see the future. And their parents don't give them a future to see.
Exactly.
Where do you think we need to find that vision, Moray?
Say that again.
Do we go to find a vision? How do we do that?
We're going to start right now. If they come right along, we'll show them. It's the only spot. The only spot, Ema. Only spot. Ain't no other spot. They can't get it from D.C. They can't get it from each other. They can't get it from the police officers. They can't get it from nobody. They can't march it. They can't pray about it. They can't march it up and down the street. They can't beg about it, lay down in the street. They don't kill me. None of that going to solve none of their problems. Now, if they come along with us, we can show them the right way to go.
Listen.
So are you saying, young Sue, that the only vision, the only place we will find our vision is from the word of our God?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Mom, you know what I always tell you, right? That other people study us. Other people study us more than we study ourselves. Right?
Yes.
They just dug up some more scrolls from the Dead Sea Scrolls just yesterday. So you can see they're still looking for the wisdom of our ancient fathers. Why are y'all digging up the Holy Land? Why is that so important? And why is it so important to y'all? And it's really not important to us.
Exactly.
It should be important to us in more ways than one. You find it more words of Yah? Who told y'all to dig up our land? Question number two.
Exactly.
What y'all really looking for?
That's the question. That's the million-dollar question. What are y'all really looking for?
I know what they're looking for. You know what they're looking for.
They're
looking for the Ark of the Covenant, man.
Okay. Well, I
suggest... Which is a foolish pursuit.
Well,
I
suggest they leave that ark alone. That doesn't pertain to them.
They ain't gonna find that ark. That ark is gone.
Yeah. The Most High got that ark.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
they can look four squares every corner.
And if they did find it, what they gonna do with it?
Get money.
They're not gonna be able to use it against y'all's people. I know that.
This is what I wanna know. Do they really want to find that ark?
They don't. The average man couldn't touch that that ark.
That's what I'm trying to talk about.
but
you have to understand who you're dealing with. These people want to talk to God face to face, so they figure if they find the Ark of the Covenant, they're going to bring him to the forefront.
Okay, well, they might be looking, it might be biting off more than they can chew. All right, y'all ready to go? Chapter 22. They might be, contrary, they might be biting off more than they can chew.
Well, they showed you that in Raiders of the Lost Ark, right? As soon as they found it, all kind of hell broke loose.
That's what I was trying to think of, Ray.
But Imar, we couldn't touch it.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't.
That's the point.
Right.
We couldn't touch it.
He was just trying to protect it. And what happened to him?
It was it was falling off the cart. He was looking out for the Ark Best Engine and got knocked.
The Ark had to be covered. Not just touch, so the people couldn't even look at it.
So what, you want to look at it, and you want to, you think y'all is playing with you? Don't find it. Keep looking for it. I hope you find it. Bring it back to your neighborhoods. Let everybody see it. I ain't looking. Hey, we found the Ark. It's covered up, and everybody, you can look at it free. We're going to uncover it tonight. Yumsu going to be on the other side of town. Keep on. Okay, all right.
You know what's going to happen?
Go ahead, Godriel.
They're going to be looking for the real Israelites, because you know what happened to the Philistines when they had it? They had to come get it.
They didn't want it no more.
Out of here.
Man, get that out of here. Get a young super Godriel and Iman Dur. Somebody get somebody, please. Tell us what.
they put it on a cart. With two cows and just let it go.
Exactly.
They didn't even bother to come get us.
We're going to just sit this wherever they take it on out of here. All right, chapter 22, y'all. Let's get started. Imar Dora, Cartrell, fellow students, let's get busy.
Then
Yahshua summoned the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of the Manasseh and said to them, "You observe all that Moses, the servant of Elohim, commanded you, and you have obeyed me in everything that I command you. I didn't have no problem with you. You have not forsaken your kinsmen through the long years down to this day. You've been with us a mighty long time. You have faithfully observed the instructions of Yahyo Elohim. Now Yahyo Elohim has given your kinsmen rest, as he promised them. Therefore, turn, go to your homes, to the land of your holding, beyond the Jordan, that Moses, the servant of the Elohim, assigned to you. But be very careful to fulfill the instructions of the teaching that Moses, the servant of the Elohim, enjoined upon you. To love, what is the instruction? To love Yah, your Elohim, and to walk, to live, to apply in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and hold fast to him, and serve him with all your heart and soul." And Yahshua blessed them and dismissed them, and they went to their home.
So that was very important because they witnessed Yah fighting the battle for them and giving the whole nation rest. And they had to go back across the other side of the Jordan
to get
to get their rest from the battles that they fought. And you know how it is when you fight a battle. You've been in a battle with soldiers.
Right. You wore out.
So they had built up a camaraderie.
It's
about to be, you know, broken back, and they get ready to go back home. But Joshua was admonishing them, remember everything that Yah did for you, because on the other side of the Jordan, you might be, you know, influenced by other things. So you got to love Yah for what he did for you and for us, and keep, you know, cling to him. They cling to him, serve him with all your heart and soul, because you know the benefits of doing that.
Exactly.
And then he blessed them.
And they went on home. And so the one hand
of God, you knew his words are powerful.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Let me ask a question.
Yes, ma'am.
From the way this text is reading, the land, actually, their land actually wasn't until they crossed the Jordan.
Yes, ma'am.
But because of those three tribes, they hey, this is good enough for us over here. So would that still be considered part of the wilderness because they hadn't reached their land yet?
Ima, I keep telling you, they conquered Og of Bashan and Heshbon and took like 66-something cities. So they were on the edge of the wilderness until they conquered those kings, the land of the Amalekites and the Amorites. So they saw that the land on the other side of the Jordan was good for their cattle, for grazing, and for their herds and their flocks. And they said that they want that as their portion of the land of Israel. It's not the wilderness.
Well, right, what? So what are you really asking, Ima, if I can and if I may be forward or presumptuous? What you're really asking in that unification process that we're seeing right here was, okay, everything else before that wasn't at rest. But until that unification process, when the other 9.5 tribes got their portion of the land, the complete unification and the complete rest of the land took an effect. Now, I would have to concur with that, but I would have to concur, you're both right. You're both right in the sense, Cartrell's right in the sense that it was not wilderness in the sense that what you're looking at. But you're right in the sense that there was no unification of the 9.5 and the 2.5. Well, then there wasn't complete rest for the land. The land had no rest. There was no complete unification. And then I could be presumption forward when I'm saying this, so I do stand corrected.
Well, the reason why I was asked that is because as she was reading, what really came to mind was Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter, and that's where it states that you have not yet crossed the Jordan, and you have, because we have yet to enter into our rest, the land which Yah is giving us. So that's why I was just, when you was reading that, that's what came into my mind. I was just questioning.
But you're right, but I think you're overlooking the part. You're saying it, but you don't really see what you're saying. What you're saying, for our unification process to be in effect, all of us must be unified. All of us must be gathered together. It's all about one for all and all for one. The 2.5 tribes on the eastern side couldn't have been complete without the 9.5 tribe on the western side. So there could be no completeness. And anything that we do, it shows and comports the fact that we got to be complete all together, one for all and all for one. So the 2.5 tribe couldn't have got no rest. Yeah, this could have been seen in the wilderness because folk were going to come at them, believe you me. But by them doing what they were commanded by Moses to do and making sure the unification process took place, that the brothers of the 9.5 tribes on the other side got their portion, and the land had rest. Therefore, it gave, in effect, cause and effect, gave their side rest and peace too. And what I'm saying, it's all about togetherness. It's all about unification. You can't get away from that. It's all about... Yes, ma'am.
The only reason why I was asking again, because I'm still learning. Every day I'm learning something new.
I am too,
every day.
I am too.
So therefore, and so that I can be clear in my own head, that because many of our people in speaking with them, they're talking about what all that we were doing in the wilderness. And I'm saying the wilderness was part of that landmass because the three tribes that didn't cross the Jordan. And I just want to be saying, being speaking of it correctly, I don't want to be speaking in error. That's why I'm trying to get clarity.
Yes, ma'am. You're saying it, but you ain't saying it, and it's a spiritual component about and the spiritualness.
Let me clarify for you, Ima.
Okay, go ahead.
Moses, before he died, the children of Israel, the whole nation, to conquer Og of Bashan and Heshbon. Sihon, the king of Heshbon. These two kings, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, The Amalekites, they feared these two kings, even the Canaanites on the other side of the Jordan. Og, as a matter of fact, they said he was a remnant of the giants that lasted after the flood. His land was rich. It wasn't wilderness. And Israel conquered it under the command of Moses, which is why he got credit for conquering the kings of Og and Bashan, which made the Moabites fear us, which is why they sent Balak to try to detract us. You remember that story? So we took the land of these people, and the other people on the other side of the Jordan and the surrounding nations feared us. The cities that we took, right, on the other side of the Jordan, have three cities of refuge, whereas there's three cities of refuge on the other side of the Jordan, which composites the whole nation, because you have to have six cities of refuge, three on one side of the Jordan and three on the other. So people make the mistake of thinking that Moses, he didn't cross the Jordan, but he was in a portion of the Holy Land when he had conquered Og and Heshbon. Because that's the inheritance of the tribe of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. That's their inheritance. So the strength of the nation helped them take their portion. All 12 tribes helped conquer Og and Sihon. Now it was their obligation to help their brothers take the rest of the land of Canaan, where the Philistines were, and any other nation that was there that was on our land. So they sent 40,000 troops from the tribe of Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh, and they spent all this time helping Joshua and Caleb conquer the people on the other side of the Jordan. Now they finished doing their work. All the tribes are settled into their inheritance. We're at the point in time where they're going back over to their inheritance on the other side of the Jordan, which is why he's admonishing them, you got to keep the faith in Yah and what you've learned on this side. Take it back with you on the other side.
Okay, one last question before we move on. And so, again, I'm just trying to get clarity.
Okay.
So at what point when we came out of Egypt, when did the wilderness begin and where did it end?
The wilderness is a place where no man dwell. That's the description of it. And for 40 years we dwelt there until we came upon the nations and started conquering them.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
excellent.
That answered my question.
Thank you, Iman. Thank you, Cartrell. To the one-half tribe of Manasseh, Moses assigned territory in Bashan. And to the other, Joshua assigned territory on the west side of the Jordan with their kinsmen. Furthermore, when Joshua sent them off to their homes, he blessed them and said to them, return to your home with great wealth, with very much livestock, with silver and gold, copper and iron, with a great quantity of clothing. Share the spoils of your enemies with your kinfolk, with your kinsmen. So the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh left the Israelites at Shiloh, in the land of Canaan, and made their way back to the land of Gilead, the land of their own holding, which they had acquired by the command of Yahtu Moses. When they came to the region of Jordan and the land of Canaan, the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh built an altar there by the Jordan, a great conspicuous, or you could miss it. That report reached the Israelites. The Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh had built an altar opposite the land of Canaan in the region of Jordan across from the Israelites. When the Israelites heard this, the whole community of Israelites assembled at Shiloh to make war on them because they thought they were trying to pull a fast one on them. But first, the Israelites sent the priest Phinehas' son, Eleazar, to the Reubenites, the Gadites. They want to get to the bottom of it. And they have tribe of Manasseh in the land of Gilead, accompanied by the 10 princesses, one prince for each ancestral house of each tribe of Israel. They were, every one of them, heads of ancestral houses of the contingent of Israel. When they came to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, they came in the land of Gilead, they spoke to them as follows. This is what they said. Thus, the whole community of Yah. What is this treachery? What y'all up to that you have committed this day against Yah of Israel? Turning away from the Elohim and building yourself an altar? What y'all trying to prove? Why y'all build this altar and rebelling this day against the Elohim? What is y'all trying to prove now? Is the sin of Peor, which brought a plague upon the community. Are y'all trying to start something, go bring some mess on all of us? A plague upon the community of Yah. Let me go back up. I missed my spot, but that's why reading glasses always come in there. Stop laughing, Imahadur. Which brought a plague upon the community of Yah. Such a small thing. Is this such a small thing to us? Think about this. We have not cleansed ourselves from it to this very day. We still bear the residual effects of Peor this very day. And
you know what happened at Peor, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he said, what y'all trying to do?
Some more?
Explain it to them, Katria. I'm going to give you an opportunity. Break it down to them like they're 4 years old.
That's when the Moabites sent the women into the camp. And the brother was sleeping in the tabernacle with this woman.
Getting a freak on.
Walking past Moses and Aaron and everybody straight into the
like
tabernacle.
Like they would eat there. Just like they would eat there, Cartrell.
And it was Pinchas that put his spear straight through both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So he's leading this charge against the Israelites that's building this altar. Right?
Right. Right.
So he said at Peor, the Most High killed like 24,000 Israelites because of that.
Right. And that's why he said, this is not a small thing you're doing if that's what you're doing. And he said, is the sin of Peor, which brought a plague upon a community of the LF, such a small thing to us? We have not cleansed ourselves from it to this day. We still have the residual effect of it. Now you have turned away from the LM. If you rebel against the Elohim today, tomorrow, he won't just be angry with y'all. He will be angry with the whole community of Israel. See, they understood. They got it right. See, we don't understand it. We don't get it right. If it is because the land of your holding is unclean, cross over into the land of y'all's own holding. Where the tabernacle of Yah, if your land over there dirty, but don't stay there. Come on over here then. Where the tabernacle of the Elohim abides and acquire holding among us. But do not rebel against the Elohim. Do not rebel against us too by building for yourself an altar other than the altar that the Elohim are Yah. And they understood it. They finally got it. It finally dawned upon them. When Archon, son of Zerah, violated the prescription of anger, struck the whole community. It's all about us. See, y'all think y'all over there doing something special. No, this ain't about y'all. This about us. It struck the whole community of Israel. He was not the only one who perished from that sin. They got it, but we don't get it. The Reubenites. The Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh replied. They responded and said to the heads of the contingents of Israel. They said, Yah, the Elohim, he knows, and Israel too shall know. We ain't trying to do no funny business. And we act in rebellion or in treachery against the Elohim. Do not vindicate us this day. And we wrong, sock cold to us. If we built an altar to turn away from the Elohim, if it was to offer burnt offering, a meal offering upon it, or to present sacrifice, we are being upon it, may Yah himself demand a record. We need to reap what we sowed in if that's what we did. But we did this thing only out of concern that in time to come, time go by, your children might say to our children, what have you to do with Yah, the Elohim of Israel? What y'all got to do with the y'all on the other side of the Jordan? Well, who y'all? The Elohim made the Jordan a boundary between you and us, O Reubenites and Gadites. You have no share in the Elohim. So what they're saying, when time go by, y'all may say, hey, we ain't a part of y'all. Y'all ain't got nothing to do with us. We don't want no parts of y'all. And the truth, that did happen. Thus, your children have forbidden our children from worshiping the Elohim. So we decided to provide as a witness for ourselves by building an altar, not for burnt offering or other sacrifice. This is just a superficial thing, just for showcasing, just for y'all to know and we to know what we about. We part of y'all. Y'all part of us. But as a witness between you and us, between the generations to come, that we may perform the services of Yah before him, that we can do the same thing that y'all doing with our burnt offering, and not on this altar here, our sacrifices, our offers of well-being, that your children should not say to our children, the time to come is time to go by. You have no share in the Elohim. Re-reason, should they speak thus to us and to our children in time to come, we will reply. You see that replica over there? You see that replica of that altar, of y'all's altar we built, which our fathers made not for burnt offerings or sacrifices, but as a witness, a verification between you and us. We're part of this too. Far be it for us to rebel against the Elohim, or to turn away this day from Yah and build an altar for burnt offerings. We would do such a thing, mere offerings or sacrifices, other than the altar of Yahweh, one and one only, which stands before his tabernacle, wherever he decides is to be. We're going to be there. When the priest Phinehas and the princesses of the community heard of the contingent of Israel, and the heads of the contingents of Israel who were with him heard the explanation given by the Reubenites and the Gadites and the Manassites, they, that makes sense. Phinehas, son of Eleazar, said to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the Manassites, now we know that Yah is in our midst, because we one for all and all for once. Since you have not committed such a treachery against Yah, and you have indeed saved the Israelites from punishment, you weren't trying to put no hokey-dokey on us, punishment from Yah, then the priest Phinehas, son of Eleazar, and the princes returned from the Reubenites, the Gadites, in the land of Gilead to the Israelites in the land of Canaan, and gave them a full report. The Israelites were pleased, and the Israelites praised Yah, because we're one for all and all for one. They weren't trying to do no mess, and they spoke no more of going to war against them to ravage the land in which the Reubenites and the Gadites dwell. The Reubenites and the Gadites named the altar. This is a witness, a verification, that we are all together, one for all and all to one. Whatever happened to one happened to the other, but we ain't trying to pull no mess in. Meaning that this is between us and them, that Yah is our Elohim, just like he is y'all too. Okay? That's all we built that for. We don't want no trouble. Ima Hadora, what is your commentary?
Oh, I think that the book spells it out to the letter, you know, and it just goes to show again how the Almighty looks upon Israel as being a nation, and they all was on one account. Mm-hmm. Everybody didn't walk according to a different beat of their own drum, and when they did, they got in trouble with the Almighty. You see?
Right.
And it was the people in Israel that took it on themselves, following the word of God, to say, hey, if you were speaking of earlier, how can our people do all this wickedness in the midst of us and you don't hear a peep from us? Well,
right.
That didn't happen back then. If they got
right.
down wrong, hey, they were immediately brought forth. Get this from amongst us, you see. So I think this book speaks very well for itself.
Yes, ma'am, it does, doesn't it? I mean, because the big contingent, they didn't want no trouble. They knew the ill effect it had in Peor and with Achan. They knew the residual effect. It didn't have just for those individuals involved. It affected the whole nation.
The whole nation.
The whole nation. And at that point in time, that juncture, our brothers and sisters, they understood that. It's one for all and all for one. And so, hey, if y'all trying to play some game here, man, let us know. Because we want to know what's up. What's up with that altar right there? Okay? Because we want to say, come out your mouth, what you mean by that? What you going to do with that? They didn't put words in their mouth. They said, they didn't went out there cussing with them. They didn't go out there want to fight them, right? Well, they going to do something to them if they were wrong. But they went out there. But they went out there. No, they did, Ima. They went out there. They wanted answers. They wanted answers. And if their brother or sister had provided the wrong answer, it was going to be hell up in Harlem. Believe that.
And check this out. It's something that's crucial here. They weren't even talking about the worshiping of another God. They were just talking about building an altar where outside of where y'all sat.
Exactly. Exactly.
And now we got Israel today. They serving everything and anything that come along and talking about they righteous, huh?
It'll fight you if you try to say otherwise.
If you try to correct them. Here, they going to serve y'all, but they building an altar. That's what y'all to tell them to.
Truth be told, Ima. Truth be told.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Katrina, our dear brother, what is your commentary?
Y'all pretty much said it all, but the fact that they didn't send everybody to confront these brothers. They didn't send the war party first to break the altar down or confront these brothers in a contentious way.
Right.
They sent the leaders, only 12, and the priest, Pinchas.
Right.
Everybody
right.
didn't have to go. They
right.
went, they had the conversation, and they came back with good news. It was only a memorial. And the fact that they were ready to go to war with anybody in the land of Israel that set up an altar outside the tabernacle, that says a lot.
That said a lot. That said they learned something from Peor. They learned something from Achan. Whatever one of y'all do affects us all. Okay?
But it tells us there's only
right.
one place to serve Yah. There's only one place
right.
to bring your offerings. There's only
exactly.
one place designated to bring your sacrifices. It ain't everywhere in the land you feel like doing it, and that proves it right there. You're talking
right,
about
right.
these mighty men came back, going back to their land, and they
right.
built an altar on their side of the land, not with the intention to make sacrifices, but it
right.
sounded the alarm in the rest of the nation, like what these dudes doing.
Right. Well, I think Kadri has twofold effect. I mean, we're both right. We're both right. I mean, and it's something serious. And you,
I'm not trying to prove you wrong. You have
no,
to
no,
perspective.
No, no, Cottrell. Don't take it that way, brother. Don't take it that way. That's not what I'm saying. There's two truths here. But your truth has more impact than what I see. Because your truth, well, the Most High truth, you can't worship Yah any way you want to worship Yah. Okay?
And any way, how do you want to worship him?
Exactly. and I said that, Kaja, because what you just said had a profound effect on me because it's true.
It's the most important chapter for Israelites to read right here. Because they was ready to go to war with each other. What they doing? Building an altar to who and for what? Where? Why?
What they trying to do? They trying to do some PO on us? Some Achan? Oh, no, we ain't having none of that. Mm-hmm. But we're going to go talk to them. They better have the right answers. It's the only thing I can say.
Well, see, another thing, too, if we're mindful, that butt whipping that they got before was still fresh in their minds. Because we still haven't recovered from that.
We still have residual effects of that.
And why was it so important to put them in check from jump? Because they're on the other side of the Jordan, and that's probably a long journey, and we don't want things to get started. You're going to nip it right in the bud before it even
right.
jump
mm-hmm.
off.
And that's good, Godrill. What
yeah.
you just said, what you said, I mean, you win four golden teddy bears, okay? And I only wish a whole lot of our brothers and sisters would understand that. It's what you just said. That's a whole
you
lot
know,
of
one of the things that this chapter is bringing out, too, well, the book of Joshua, period, is that people have no understanding of the importance of the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand that. But,
mm-hmm.
And you just said, hinted at it, you know, so a few minutes ago, the
yes,
importance
ma'am.
Of the wilderness was so that they could, they didn't know Yah in Egypt. They didn't know Yah. And once he brought them out of Egypt, they went through the wilderness so Yah could introduce himself to them and show them, teach them how to serve him. So that once they entered into the land of inheritance, they wouldn't defile it by doing what they, what the Almighty told them not to do.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Iman.
Hmm?
The people that came out of Egypt,
mm-hmm.
they died. It was their children.
In the wilderness.
They didn't know Egypt at all. All they knew was the Most High in the wilderness. That's
absolutely.
All they knew. They
right.
only knew Yah and how Yah was feeding them and taking care of them each and every day. And the miracles that they saw each and every day with him, that's all they knew. And that was their reliance on him because from the wilderness into the land of Canaan, that's all they knew, which is why they're so loyal and dedicated and on point with each other to keep each other, you know, walking the right path because that's
right.
what a brother should do. If I'm going astray, you're supposed to check me and find out why I'm doing what I'm doing.
But you know what I liked about it, Cartrell and Iman Dora? They came there to talk. They didn't come to argue, fuss, and fight, name call, and kill them right then. But if they had the wrong answers, you know, it was going to be a different response later on. But they came there to talk. They came there to talk. They didn't tell them what they were doing. They asked them, what are y'all doing?
I'm going to tell you something that you might have missed as well.
Go ahead, Cartrell.
That's hidden in the story.
Okay.
Joshua is delegating responsibilities. He's not micromanaging. He knows his people have the capability. When he tells them you got to do something, they go out and do it.
Right. You're right.
So he's not.
You're right. Joshua is not with them. Phineas,
nope.
the son of Eleazar, is
and
with them.
And Eleazar's still alive. He's the high
right.
priest.
Right. He's not even there. He's back at the spot, too.
He really can't leave that tabernacle, though.
Right. Okay. You're right. Mm-hmm. And they were doing it together on their own. You're right. They didn't need to be micromanaged. They were doing it together on their own. They knew the codification and the specification. They knew what to do, and they knew how to talk to their brothers and sisters. They didn't go out there calling out their name, calling dirty names and whatnot. I didn't read none of that. They asked, what y'all doing, bro? Y'all trying to play a hokey doke on us? Y'all remember Peor? Y'all remember Achon? I mean, we still got the residual effect. Is that what y'all trying? What is that altar over there for? Oh, no, it ain't like that, player. No, no, bro. No, we don't want no trouble. No, y'all misunderstood it entirely. That's for your children when they come at our children. As time go by and say, all right, man, y'all on the other side. Who y'all here? Gadites and the Reubenites and the half-time of man. Y'all ain't with us. Yes, we here. What you think this replica for? What that means? That means one for all and all for one. We want to be loved and appreciated just like we love and appreciate y'all. We all together. We in this all together. And I get
listen, it was a reminder that they had kept their word to their brothers on the other side of the Jordan. When Joshua sent them back home, there was no gold medals or purple hearts or, you know, how they do for military men.
Right.
He just sent them home. He sent them home with substance. He sent them home with cattle and gold and told them to give it out. But they wanted a monument, a memorial, as to their service to their brothers and sisters on the other side. And that stood as a powerful reminder of what Manasseh, Gad, and Reuben did for their brothers on the other side. So when people ask, why is that there? Or they could tell a story of what their fathers did to help their brothers secure their land, right?
Yep. Cartrell, brother, you said something you ain't realize what you said. And I'm going to tell you what you don't realize what you said. See, a lot of folks like to have parades, military parades and whatnot. The Romans like to go through the triumph with the military parades, the Greeks like to have them. But we didn't have military parades. We didn't embellish war. We saw it as a means to an end. But it wouldn't say we gave out medals for. We had big parades about. Contrary, you said a mouthful, didn't even know it, bro.
At least not until King David came along.
They had parades.
They were celebrating their victories, bro.
Oh, they was?
Oh, yeah.
We sure changed over the course of time, then, didn't
we? We didn't have a king up until that time except for Yah.
Right.
He wasn't about the pomp and the pageantry. He was about business. I made a contract with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I'm going to fulfill it. And he did
so
it.
So we're saying Yah didn't care about no military parades.
Oh, no. He was the military parade.
Right.
For real.
Queen also.
Go ahead, Ima.
No, I wait until I thought Mowbray was finished, but I'll wait till he finished.
I'll finish, Ima. Go ahead.
He said,
okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Also, if we notice in the first two verses that of 20, Joshua is commending them for keeping their word as they gave it in the first chapter of Joshua.
Mm-hmm.
Yea, Lord Joshua, all that you have commanded that we will do and that we will obey.
Mm-hmm.
And also they told him that anyone that didn't obey him, they will be put to death.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously Joshua was a man of character where the people respected him as well.
He certainly was, Ima. He certainly was.
And what was his main weapon?
His word.
There you go. Get an A+ on that, Ima. Gold star. He didn't use a staff like Moses or Aaron. Oh, no, 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 no. What he said was his power.
Right.
He stopped the sun. How many people could do that?
Not too many, Cadrio.
Not any that I know except for him.
I know I can't. They try to do a culture in these countries. It's called daylight saving time.
Yeah. And don't that mess you up?
Yeah. So, man, I'm totally messed up, bro. I'm still trying to get combobulated around here.
You waking up at 5 o'clock when you're supposed to wake up at 6.
You know what I'm saying, bro? I don't know where to go to sleep or to wake up. I'm told, they told you, man, they need to leave stuff alone, country. Truth be told, leave stuff alone. You can't improve on y'all. Leave stuff alone. We already messed up around here. Totally confused about everything. Well, country, Ima Adura, I'm going to throw some prize on you. Since, you know, now when I come to the end of a chapter and I have 3 chapters remain, I'm going to do that, say, 1 chapter, then I'm going to double up the next following day and complete the book. So tomorrow we'll be completing the book of Joshua. And the day after, we'll be going to Shofin, the book of Shofin. And there are a lot of brothers and sisters in there who, if you don't have a hero, we're going to give you some heroes. If you don't know who your heroes are, male and female, we're going to give you plenty of them. Okay. If you say my hero is Superman, no, it ain't. Your hero is Gideon. Your hero is Deborah. You know, we finna give you some heroes. If you ain't never had a hero, we gonna give you some. And some of y'all are totally confused about everything. So you need heroes. No, there's not Wonka Land. Okay, these are real brothers and sisters, not make believe, not Hollywood, not Marvel cartoons. Okay, these are real brothers and sisters, and we gonna give them to you live and raw on the Real Talk for Real People show. I know Hedora, she probably love her some Deborah. Don't you love Deborah, Ima Hedora?
Oh, I do. I love all of God's people. Men and female, they all my heroes. In
yep.
the sense that, and I say that because, and I don't mean to sound facetious or anything like that, but you know what, Jumpsuit, I can't get too excited about anything because all my excitement rests with my God.
Yes, ma'am. as much.
He got all of me, you know. And when even though I can respect, I admire, I love him, but Yah supersedes everything for me. So therefore, Deborah, everyone that is in tune or in step with the word of Yah, I love them. I adore them. It's all about Yah and his glory for me.
I'm down with you. Because if these men and these women follow Yah, they are my heroes. And I concur. See, a lot of folks wouldn't have understood that, Iman, but I understand exactly what you mean, okay? Exactly.
Hallelujah. That's all, you know, it's only about the thing that I share with many. I'm at that, you know, that lie. I'm in those lying years. And one of the reasons why I say I'm in those lying years, because someone said these were the golden years. And I think someone took a slip that G in front of that O, you see. That G don't belong there, you see. So I'm in my olden years, you know what I'm saying? And my time is dwindling, and I just want to be in a sense where I go when it's my time to go and be with my Creator. I just want to hear, well done, O faithful servant. That's all. I don't care about no man's opinion, their accolades. I don't care about none of that. I'm not impressed with none of that. I don't care what kind of title you put on your head or your mouth or whatever. I could care less. Because guess what? At the end of the day, it's all about Yah for me.
Right. If it ain't If it ain't about what Yah said, it ain't about nothing, Ema.
It ain't about nothing. Not to me. I can't tell nobody else what to think, feel, or say. I'm only expressing for myself. It's it.
Yes, ma'am. I can tell. Well, Quatrell, my brother and my friend, we're sitting back for another study session of the book of Proverbs. I believe it's chapter 11. And we're all ears, my brother and friend.
Well, like Jesse Jackson said, keep hope alive. Good name, April, Israelite History Month, because we're going into the judges.
Oh. Yep. Oh, we're going into the judges.
And the fact that the Most High said we will be greater than our forefathers. We look forward to the Most High raising the spirit in our people, in our nation, like the judges, in our time, amongst our people.
Exactly. Amen, yes. Brother. Amen.
So the book of Proverbs, King Solomon, chapter 11. King Solomon, considered the wisest man that ever lived. We're going to find out why. Because he talks about common sense.
Mm-hmm.
On a high level, it's not just plain common sense, but it's common sense on a high spiritual level. A false balance is an abomination to Yah, but a just weight is his delight. So Yah don't like when people cheat people. Not only does he doesn't like it, he says it's an abomination, like you ate some shrimp or some pig or something. Abomination when you cheat people in balances. And in Babylon that we live in, they're notorious for taking advantage of people, exploiting the elders and exploiting the poor. And Yah considers it an abomination. It says, when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. So we see a lot of pride, you know, here in this country, gay pride and, you know, political pride. But we see also the shame. It may not be on him now, but we see the shame is going to come. It says, but with the lowly is wisdom. Everybody is trying to be rich and famous, and Yah's not looking for that. Yah's looking for the lowly so that he can impart wisdom on the lowly spirit. And Moses was the perfect lowly spirit, which shows you his relationship with Yah, that Yah really imparted wisdom and power to Moshe, the humblest man on earth. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. So your integrity is just as compelling as somebody that is perverse. Because you know people that are perverse, talking about serial killers, they're really impulsive and they can't stop their perverseness. They become more and more perverse the more they are involved in the activities And the Most High says that path will destroy themselves. They're going to destroy themselves. But the path of the one that's upright, your integrity should guide you all the days of your life. Because riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. So is that there is that day of judgment. And you can have all the money in the world, but if you wasn't walking the path of righteousness and you were perverse and crooked in your ways, your riches are not going to help you when Yah brings judgment to the earth. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. There it is reinforced again. So we don't know where the path of righteousness really leads us. It should lead us to the perfect day. And that perfect day is our connection with the Creator. But the wicked, they're going to fall in their own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. So there goes Christianity right out the window. It's going to be righteousness, not somebody sacrificing their life for you, but you living the righteous life in order to deliver yourself because you walked the righteous way and you kept your integrity. Transgressors, meaning sinners, shall be taken in their own naughtiness. So each man, each woman have to pay for their own crime. When a wicked man dies, his expectations shall perish, and the hope of the unjust men shall perish. The righteous is delivered from out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. So you might feel like you're in trouble, but if your path is right and you call on Yah, he will deliver you out of your troubles. You just have to know how to call on him. And in your stead, some wicked person is going to fall in that trap. A hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. And somebody in this country is real famous for that. You're talking about Donald Trump. You know he's a hypocrite because his tweets was killing people. Mm-hmm. The people that were supposed to be loyal to him. They're talking about hang Mike Pence. Okay. It says, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. So we don't have to worry about getting just from the wicked. And we know these people are wicked because we're not going to get no justice from them, but they're going to fall into their own traps. But the knowledge that we should have, we should get justice. We're going to get justice. Justice is going to be delivered. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, they're shouting. And we're waiting for that day because we haven't seen it in our time. A righteous city. Okay. Where is that? Where the people are righteous so we can rejoice. Yeah, we live in a wicked place. And we haven't shouted for joy yet. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. But it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. And that's all we see. You see America falling apart, being overthrown, not by bombs, not by war, by what these people are coming out of their mouth with. QAnon and all these conspiracies and stuff. Wow. Donald Trump is king. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor. So, yeah. If you have no wisdom, you're going to hate everybody around you, be jealous and envious. But if you have wisdom, you don't have to worry about anybody else because you're self-contained. But a man of understanding holds his peace. A talebearer reveals secrets. That's the person that wants to run around town and talk about your business, let everybody know your secrets and your dirt. And I think that's a good thing. But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Everybody has their troubles that they have to work themselves out of. It's not for you to tell the world about somebody else's struggles and make them look bad. If you're faithful to your friend, you keep your mouth shut, right?
Exactly.
Where no counsel is, the people fall. And that's what we see with our people. Because we don't have leaders like Pinchas, son of Eleazar, and the 12 tribal leaders. That sound like an Indian. That story you read today sound like an Indian story in America today, right? The chiefs came to see the other part of the tribes that were on the other side of the river, and they had a council, a powwow, and they came to peace. They came to terms. It's similar to how the Native Americans live here. where no counsel is, the people fall. And that's what we're witnessing. Because we didn't get no counsel from Al Sharpton or none of these other wannabe politicians. We had the NAACP for years. We've had the Congressional Black Caucus, and our people still don't have counsel. And the counsel those people should really be giving our people is to be business-minded, because you're trying to get a job in capitalist America, it's not the right formula, and these people should know better. But anyway, we shouldn't be trying to be part of Babylon anyway. We should be trying to get back to our ancestral roots. It says, but in the multitude of counselors, which we try to be as elders of the nation of Israel, there is safety. And where does the safety come from? It comes from Yah, because he fights our battles. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. Can't trust everybody. And he that hateth suretyship is sure. So you don't just put your trust in anybody that, you know, says that they're going to help you or look out for you. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retaineth riches. That speaks for itself. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. Yeah. So when you're merciful, you receive mercy. When you're cruel, that cruelty is going to come back on you. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. So the wicked that work a wicked work or a deceitful work, we know America has been deceitful ever since her inception. They speak with a forked tongue. They tell you Christopher Columbus discovered it when you had Apache, Mohawk, Cheyenne, Seminole, and they don't teach you about them. Inca, Maya, Aztec, that built great monuments, but Christopher Columbus discovered it. So we know they work a wicked work, a deceitful work, and they've been deceitful from the beginning of time. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. So when you pursue evil, it's going to take your life. When you pursue righteousness, it's going to give you that life that you're looking for. Maybe not in this lifetime, but maybe the life to come. And that's another subject for another day. They that are a froward heart are an abomination to Yah, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. So live uprightly in your heart. Yah loves you. Whether you feel it and know it, you may not know it, you may not feel it, but he does. And sometimes the people that he loves, he puts them through the hardest tests. And we read the book of Job. He loved Job. But look what Job had to go through. But he went through it, and he still loved Yah, and Yah loved him. And we're going through a similar situation with our situation as a nation. Yah's cast us down, cast us out, made us the tail and not the head, and he still loves us. But we have to return that love back to him. It says, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman, which is without discretion. Yeah, so pretty women, they can look bad. Even though they're pretty and decked out, they can look real bad, depending on how they carry themselves. The desire of the righteous is only good. So if you're a righteous person, your expectations should be only good for Yah's creation and everybody in it. But the expectation of the wicked is wrath. Yes, the wicked want to destroy everything and everybody in it, and keep it for himself. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is met, but tendeth to poverty. People that share usually are the ones that increase, and the ones that really hoard tend to be impoverished. And if you ever seen hoarders, they live under the most impoverished condition you can imagine. So sharing is caring, and it's better to give than to receive. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and that's a person that gives, if it's in your spirit. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. So we're sharing the fountains of living waters with the listeners out there, and we pray and hope that Yah will water us too with the fountains of living waters as we try to share that water with our people and the people of the world who are thirsting for Yah's knowledge and wisdom and understanding. He describes it as the fountain of living waters. So we're trying to share it liberally with the world. It says, he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. That's why Joseph was so popular in Egypt, because he was selling that corn that he predicted would be in abundance for 7 years, and it would be 7 lean years. So they loved Joseph because he saw that, predicted it, prepared for it, and he was able to sell it to the people, and the people were able to eat and endure the famine. He that diligently seeketh good procureth favor. How do you have to seek good? Diligently, not just once in a while, not just as a pastime. You have to diligently seek good. But he that seeketh mischief, it shall come to him. So you're looking for trouble, you're going to find it. He that teaches, he that trusts in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. So the spirit of righteousness has to be in you to receive the blessings on the spiritual plane that Proverbs is talking about. It's not necessarily always materialistic, but your life is smoother, it's more enduring, it's longer, and you tend to have more peace when you walk the righteous path. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise in heart. So we got a lot of people on Fool's Book, and we have a lot of people who are seeking wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And in the end, the fools are going to serve the ones who have been wise. And if you're troubling your own house, it says you shall inherit the wind. And our house is the nation of Israel. And as we see, each and every one of us has a part to play, because you can affect the whole nation, as by the example of Achan, when you're not walking the right path. And your inheritance shall be the wind. And if you're a fool, you're going to be a servant to the wise. It says the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, the fruit of righteousness. You know, that spirit of righteousness that you should have in you, that's where the tree of life is. And he that winneth souls is wise. So we got people out here talking about they out here to win souls, but not for the purpose of Yah or Yah's purpose. They want to win souls for their own selfish purpose, and they're leading those souls to Sheol. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth. That's a promise from Yah. Much more the wicked and the sinner. So everybody's going to get their due. You may not get it in this lifetime. You may get it in this lifetime. The wicked may be enjoying themselves in this lifetime. But when judgment comes down, it says the earth is going to recompense the righteous. So the earth is keeping record. Most of us said, I call heaven and earth to witness against you. So your actions are being recorded, and when the judgment does come, you can't hide what you've done. So you could change your ways right now. Wicked man, wicked person has the opportunity to change from their wicked ways and repent and do what is right and pleasing in Yah's eyesight, which is the path we're putting ourselves on. And we pray and we hope that we are doing the best we can to be diligent in seeking wisdom and righteousness in all our lives for the rest of our lives. Give thanks to King Solomon for the wisdom that he's imparted. Gets deep.
Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Cartrell. Imahador, do you have any closing remarks before we get ready to get out of here? I guess Imahador may have stepped away from the mic.
Well, she's on mute.
I'm sorry. I was on mute. And I was saying that I just want to reiterate to Israel, we're in troublesome times now, Israel. Study, meditate on the word of your God. Turn back to Yah with all of our heart, all of our soul, and obey the commands that he has given us to make him to remember his covenant once again. I pray that Yah be with you all wherever you are. I pray that he ease your pain and your suffering wherever you are. I pray that he be your light in the midst of all of this darkness. And I pray that Yah will soon see us worthy of returning together so we can return back to our home once again. May Yah be with you. Know that Yah love you, and so do I. And I give thanks for Yah, to Yah for you, Young Sue, and more Brother Murray Catriel, because, again, for your faithfulness and your due diligence. And I pray that Yah protect you and keep you and allow you to continue to bring forth his word so that our people can be fed righteously instead of a lot of this malarkey that they're being fed today. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Iman. Thank you. Kadri, my dear brother and friend.
Yes, my prayers are for Iman, that the Most High hears her words, put it in his heart, and answer her, that we may be saved. And my prayers are for you, the Most High keep you strong, Most High keep you diligent in your search for him, and that you find him, that he magnify himself in our midst, and he will save us out of our condition, because we ain't got the solution, and we read in the solution, and we pray that our words be as powerful as our brother Joshua, the prophet, that had that much connection with Yah, that all he had to do was speak words, and Yah would act in his behalf. So we want to get to that level. We want to get to the level of loving Yah, where he responds to us. And I pray that through these lessons, we will learn and understand that that is our mission in life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I just want to say one comment that contrary to that last statement he made. And let me reiterate and emphasize what Katria said, that last statement of the book of Proverbs, he wins souls for the Most High, not for himself. So if you're looking for leadership, you're looking for a following on the Real Talk for Real People show, don't follow Young Suf. And I believe Katria will tell you, say, don't follow him. Ima Hadur will tell you, don't follow him. You follow the word of Yah, and you can't go wrong. Don't follow Young Suf across the street. You may get run over. Okay? What you need to do is follow the word that we present to you and apply it to your life. That's the only thing that has any remedy for any problems you may. Yom Suf ain't got no answers to none of your problems, just like Cartrell said. I ain't got no answers to none of your problems. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov does. Ima Hadora realizes, Cartrell realizes, and Yom Suf realizes. And we pray that you realize this too. Yeah. We don't know where you're going, but what we do know, Imar, Dora, and Cartrell, now you better get ready to get out of here. You've been listening to the Real Talk for Real People show. I want to thank Imar, Dora, Cartrell. I want to thank you, fellow students, for coming and study with us. Get a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov and relationships, how vital they are in regards to him, in regards to one another, in regards to strangers, and how important they are. Get them, develop them, maintain them, and keep them. We love y'all. May the Most High bless you. Get your new thinker, too. Why? Because our thinkers are broken. That's why we praise his hell. I'm going to keep it real. Get you a new thinker, a thinker that loves the Most High with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Oh, I make it easier for you. When you get down on your knees in prayer tonight, if you forget what I said, say, give me a thinker like King Dawood asked for. Because King Dawood was a man after the Most High thinking. So get a thinker like that. We love you. May the Most High bless you, direct you, and order your steps. Shalom and good night.
Back it up, y'all. Look at California.